Before I begin my homily, I just want to wish all the women in the congregation this morning whom God has called to the vocation of motherhood. And I said it in just that way because I'm talking about mothers, stepmothers, grandmothers, godmothers, aunts, adopted mothers, foster mothers, older sisters who've raised younger siblings. Have I missed anything? A very happy Mother's Day. Today is the Feast of the Ascension, the 40th day following Easter, the celebration of the resurrection when Jesus ascended to the Father. The reading from the book of Acts tells us that the 12 apostles, having just watched Jesus ascend into heaven, stood there gawking. And in the gospel for today, we remember that Jesus had told those same apostles to go and to proclaim. To go and to proclaim. And then St. Matthew adds in his gospel, to go, to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach. We, the clergy of St. Cyril's, are going to use this Sunday and the next two Sundays, the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of the Holy Trinity, as a triduum, a time of three, to talk about our mission statement here at St. Cyril's. The work God has given us all to do together. And to remind all of us that, number one, God has given us the work of the kingdom to do. And number two, now in this world, the only hands God has to do His work is our hands. Parenthetically, in the Catholic Church, anything important, anything that is truly important, has to have a Latin name. So we were talking about this staff meeting, and Father Mario immediately popped up and said, well, it'll be a triduum. I didn't want to tell him, I can't even say the word right. But it's important, folks, because it's got a Latin name. I want to call your attention to the screen images. First off, it speaks of a portion of our parish mission statement. The total mission statement is transforming cultural Catholics into intentional disciples. I'm going to try to unpack that in just a minute. But while I still have your attention on the screens, I want you to see the tree. You know, we are all part of the same tree, the one tree, which is God, which is Jesus' body, which is the church. Another way of saying what I've been saying now for almost 5 years around here, we're all in this together. Now I want you to look at the limbs. At the end of each of the limbs are what first might look like leaves, but they're not. Those things that appear to be leaves are hands. So, let's go back to that definition, that parish mission statement. What is a cultural Catholic? Well, he or she is a person who identifies with Catholic traditions, but does not actively practice Catholicism as their faith. Now, sometimes, and I use this word several times with our young people at Pope John the 23rd, cultural Catholics are referred to as zombie Catholics. You know, Catholics who simply go through the actions, go through the motions of being Catholic, but do not have the life of Christ living within them. An intentional Catholic disciple is genuinely empowered by the Holy Spirit. Recently, a major research center who studies demographics and religion here in the United States, it just happens to be known by the owner's name, which is Pew, P-E-W. So it's called the Pew Research Center, but it's not the pew you're sitting in. Okay. Finished tracking American religious affiliation between the years of 2007 and 2014. According to their study, the number of people who are Christian is declining sharply. An overwhelming majority, about 70% of Americans, yeah, they still call themselves Christian, but that number has dropped 8%, 8 percentage points in 7 years. And the number of people who are not connected with any religion in particular, they're referred to as the nuns. And I'm not talking about Catholic women in habits. People who put Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, Jew, other, nun. The nuns. Those not connected with any religious affiliation. The unaffiliated is at an all-time high of nearly 23%. 23%. That's 3% more than the number of Americans who call themselves Catholics. Folks, we've always been around 1 in 5 Americans, or 20%. Now the nuns, not the women in the habits, outnumber us. For the first time ever, more people are unaffiliated than Catholic. That's a sobering reality. And in the light of today's scripture, it offers us another sobering reality. We have work to do. A lot of work to do. The gospel today couldn't be more clear. Jesus tells his disciples, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. In the Acts of the Apostles, he assures them, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, into Samaria, and ultimately to the ends of the earth. But if you take a look at that study I just mentioned and read the statistics, you have to wonder, folks, are we really even trying? Are we really even trying? Or are we, like the disciples, staring up into heaven while there's still work to do here on earth? Christ isn't asking all of us to preach. Although I know there's several right over here in this corner that tends to give me a lot of trouble, who are thinking right now, I could do a better job than he is. I'm watching you. Not everybody is being called to be a preacher. St. Paul acknowledges as much, telling the church in Ephesus today, some are apostles, some are preachers, some evangelists, others teachers, but all are called to build up the body of Christ. Now, in that apostles, preachers, evangelists, teachers, did you hear anything about St. Paul mentioning strap hangers? You know, people who get on the subway or the bus and just hold on to the strap till they can get off at their exit. You know, hangers on, people going along for the ride, being just a cultural Catholic, a zombie Catholic. No, Jesus is asking something more, something even harder. In fact, he is asking each and every one of us to be a witness. Now, on one level, that's a challenge, because the word witness in the Greek language literally means a martyr. A martyr. And now, more than ever, it is a challenge looming large around the world. Last night, while you were sleeping because of the time change on the other side of the world, 13 Christians and as many as 41 of their fellow Christians, 13 were killed and 41 injured in 3 church bombings in Indonesia. Now, folks, these were not the YMCA. They weren't the local mosque. They weren't the local Jewish temple. It wasn't a Tupperware women's gathering. It was the church. A Protestant church, a Catholic church, and a Pentecostal church. It had not the officers of the law caught the remainder of the family. It all was done by one family. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. Had they not caught the rest of the perpetrators, they were headed to the Catholic cathedral next. Every one of those bombers was a member of the same family. 2 older brothers went into the Catholic Church. When they had finished, it was a suicide mission. Their father went into the Protestant church. Then, as if not to kind of put a bow on the whole thing, Mama gathered her 2 little daughters around her, and together they walked into the third church, and she set off a bomb, killing Christian worshipers and her 2 little girls. Happy Mother's Day. Every Sunday, during the prayers of the faithful, we pray for modern day martyrs. That's not just something that Father Mario or Fred Clay cooked up because they thought it might be kind of cool. No. Every time we turn around, every 92 seconds, a Christian around the world is martyred for his or her Christian faith. But there are other kinds of martyrdom. There's the everyday martyrdom of selflessness and genuine sacrifice. Just Christians giving of time and talent and treasure, giving of their resources and their relationships. There is the martyrdom of not having the last word. Anybody ever fallen on that sword? There is the martyrdom of forgiving those who have done us wrong. A boss, a friend, a co-worker, a spouse, and forgiving before that person even apologizes, even says the words, "I'm sorry." And there is the everyday martyrdom of simply being a witness to the gospel, which often involves something we find increasingly elusive in our culture: mercy. Now be honest. How much mercy, true mercy, do you witness at the office, on public transportation, around the kitchen table, at school, on the playground, on the sports field, on the freeways in Houston? How much are we being merciful? How much are we living, truly living the gospel in our daily lives? As many of you know, I was in Israel a few weeks ago with some pilgrims, most of whom were from St. Cyril's. Had we had the time, one of the places I would have liked to have taken the pilgrims would have been the Italian hospital in Amman, Jordan, the oldest medical facility in all of the nation of Jordan. Its patients are predominantly poor. Many of them today are refugees who have fled from Iraq and Syria. You know, the hospital was built by intentional Italian Catholics nearly a century ago, and is still staffed by some very hardworking Dominican sisters. Yeah, the same Dominican sisters that I worked side by side with at Pope John the 23rd. Now that is extraordinary enough, but there's more to be said. In a country that is 95% Muslim, the gospel is being proclaimed in that hospital. Every room, even where it's politically incorrect, has a crucifix hanging on the wall. The nursery has pictures of Mary and the baby Jesus. Day after day, the men, the women, and the children who pass through the doors of that hospital see the face of Christ, not only on the wall, but in those who care for them with such compassion, tenderness, and love. The staff of that hospital turns no one away. Simply put, the staff members of the Italian hospital are Jesus to the poor of Amman, Jordan. These wonderful women and men are fulfilling the mandate of today's gospel, carrying its message into the world. So my question for you this morning is, are we carrying the mandate of today's gospel into the world? Or are we zombie Catholics, cultural Catholics, just, you know, going through the motions? Oh yeah, giving a little for the kingdom of God every now and then. This glorious feast of the Ascension, which you will remember, is one of the glorious mysteries which we pray as we say the rosary, asks each of us to do something glorious. Not mediocre, but grand and glorious. It asks us to rise with Christ, to defy the laws of gravity. It asks us to defy the world, the culture. Indeed, it asks us to change the world. So what are you willing to do
to give,
and to live for the kingdom of God. What are you willing to do to change the world? Amen.